Thank you for tuning in to the Sarita House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
John messed up again. I guess I got to go back down there and get back on that cross. It's already been done. He's taken care of it. And He's sitting next to His Father. He's resting because He did what He came to do. Amen. Now it goes, because of one sacrifice, and this is something I'd like us to focus on a little bit here. Because of one sacrifice, He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now, in God's sight, every one of you sitting here, and me too, I'm perfect. We are perfect. But as you look at the next line, it says we are being made holy. There's a difference from already being perfect and He's still working on us. We are a work in progress. He's not done with us yet. That's good news. As we look at ourselves and we say, how can I consider myself perfect? When we look at ourselves, are the worst critics of ourselves. We see the flaws. We see the things that aren't right in our lives. The things that we did yesterday and, gosh, you know what? I did it again. We see these things that are always upon us, and it doesn't make us look and feel like a perfect person. But we are because of Jesus. Father sees us through Jesus. Thank God for that. But again, we are still being made holy. The Holy Spirit testifies to us about this. First, He says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put the laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds. Now, we know, and through the law, and we know what's right and what's wrong. We've been made aware of that. But to choose between that, between right and wrong, has now become a hard issue. It's no longer a have to. You don't have to. It's now a want to. It's a positive response to what He has done. His love for us should demand love from us. How can we not love Him after He gave His life for us? It should not be about that we're allowed or not allowed. That response that's in our heart should just be an automatic response to the love that He has shown for us. We shouldn't have to work at it anymore. We shouldn't have to be looking at those things that were demanded, thou shalt not. Now it's, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be there anymore. Lord, You gave up too much for me. He would have done it just for John Valero. And so when I look at that love that He extended to me, even if I don't have that the power to sometimes don't do the things I don't want to do, but I know He's not condemning me. Now, let me finish off this. It says, then He adds, their sins and lawless acts, I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer sacrifice for sin. He will remember my sins no more. Jesus paid the price. And my sins, past, present, and future, He doesn't look at. Now, does God not remembering our sin, even to the future, give us permission to commit sin? On the contrary, Jesus forgave our sin, but our choice to continue in it will bring consequences. And sometimes, even to the extreme. And I'm going to use an example, and a light one at this, but let's say you got out of bed and the alarm didn't go off, and you got to get out and hurry and get in your car, and you take off in your car, and you're already not in a good place, and so you get on your car, and you got a boss that just does not like people being late, and so you're hurrying to get to work, and you're on your car, you're already frustrated, and you start taking off, and that foot just doesn't seem to get light, you know. You press on that gas, and you're driving down I-19, and all of a sudden you see these little flashing lights in the back, and now you got to stop. And this gentleman gets out and tells you that you're going a little too fast. And so he writes you a ticket. Now, all the time you're thinking, now doesn't this guy have bad guys to go catch? You know, why is he chasing me? You know, all I got to do is get to work, and he should be doing. So you're already having this inside of you of not being happy with what this gentleman is doing to you. So gives you your ticket. You take off. You get to work. You're late. Now your boss is getting on you because you're late. You try to explain, on and on. Scenario. So what happened here? You broke a law. You know, you were speeding. You weren't going the speed that you were asked to do, or told to do, I should say, but you broke a law. And then in the process, you know, that's a natural law. In the process, what were you thinking inside about that nice guy that gave you a ticket? You're not loving your brother too much at that point. You're wishing he would be chasing bad guys. And when you get to work, you might not be loving your boss either that much. So the point I'm trying to make is that things that we do, if you really want to get to the nitty-gritty about breaking the law and sinning, you could find so many things to credit that to. In this case here, you broke a natural law and you broke a spiritual law. But my question to you is, after you got that ticket and after that was over, were you loved any less than before? That love never changed because of what you did. But you're going to remember that because now you got to pay money. Your insurance is going to go up. The consequences are there. Okay? And this is just not a life-taking example. But these are consequences that your sin, in this case, you broke some laws there, if you want to look at law, can bring in your life. Now, the extreme, some of your sin could get you to the point of losing people you love. You can do something that is so devastating that you could lose your family. Now, that's getting into a little bit rougher area, but it's still sin. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. Sin is sin. Okay? And so the point being is that God doesn't love you any less when you do something that isn't what it should be. But your life will answer for what you've done. He cannot give you his best when you're not walking in his light. Now, through our areas of weakness and vulnerability, we leave an open door for the devil to have a foothold in our life. The accuser will magnify those things that bring condemnation to convince us that we're not good enough and that we'll never be good enough. It can get us to a point that we just give up. You know, I've tried, just can't go there, can't do it. And we give up. And that's lies from the pit of hell that you have to give up. If you're trying to do this on your own, yeah, you better give up. You're lost. But if you're looking at what Jesus can do in you and through you and what you can do through him, never give up. Never give up and never listen to those accusations that the devil can bring into you. And man has never and can never be good enough on his own. And that's why we needed a Savior. Now, this is going a little quicker than I thought, but that's okay. So, in a few moments, we're going to have the privilege of celebrating in the Lord's Supper. And there are two elements that we receive. The cup, which represents the blood of Jesus shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And the bread, which represents his body, a body that took upon himself not only sin, but sickness, oppression, and all curse placed upon man. And I want to read out of Galatians 3, starting with verse 10. It says, all, and I'm going to read 10 through 13, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law. Right away, that tells us that you're going to have to choose between law and grace. And if you have any part of your life that is you're still looking at the law, you're cursed. I don't want to be cursed. I want to look at the grace of God and not the law that leads to death. And so it's an easy thing to look at, but sometimes there's such a fine line to look at the law and think, well, that's what I have to do. But remember, it's no longer a have to. It's a want to. And so don't ever let the law hold anything over you. Jesus took care of that. Now, clearly no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Now, I wanted to bring this up because I wanted to talk about sickness. And sickness is part of a curse. We were never intended to be sick. Sickness was not supposed to be a part of God's creation. But then, of course, here we are. We can all look around and there are people that have ailments. And yet, the Word says that Jesus took that curse upon Himself. The law said that we were responsible for the sins of our fathers. And even today, our medical history has to include, and they'll always ask you, you know, what diseases run in your family? You know, they always ask, is there heart disease? Is there diabetes? You know, they can go through this. And that's pretty much customary for doctors, you know, medical people to ask what runs in your family because they can get a good idea of what to look for. But this is the deal. Our stand should be, yeah, maybe it was there, but it stops with me. You don't have to be a carrier of something that your forefathers brought as far as you are concerned. It is no longer to continue, not through you, not to your children or your children's children. And so, yeah, sometimes we have to answer these things because it's required of us. But when you do, just know that there is a higher power and there is a truth that supersedes what's written on those papers. And whatever diagnoses you've been given by a physician, they're doing their job. But we have the truth. And we stand on that word. And you know, sometimes we don't see the effects. We pray and we ask God to heal us. We ask God, why? Why am I still where I'm at? And you know, it seems like things like that don't seem to change much. But all I can tell you is, again, don't give up. Don't give up on your prayers. Don't give up on His healing. There was, and it comes to my mind right now, there was a gentleman on TV that I watched, and he talked about the fig tree, and I don't have that down here, so that when Jesus cursed the fig tree, it said that it was the next day that they went and they looked at the fig tree, and it was dry, no fruit. But the point that was made was that at the time that Jesus cursed that fig tree, it died. So it wasn't like it took 24 hours or whatever that may be for His words to go into effect. The leaves or whatever, they showed the evidence at a later time. But those roots had died when Jesus spoke to them. And so using that example, if there is something in your life, some ailment that is still there, speak to that ailment. Speak to that ailment and just say in the name of Jesus, die. Cancer, die. Diabetes, die. And you may not see it today, you may not see it tomorrow, but trust. Trust in God. It has happened. And you keep on just waiting to receive that He gave. The curse of disease is not ours to carry. So I want to read one more, and I'm sure you're all familiar with. And that's 1 Peter 2:24. And it says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on a tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Receive that. Receive that. By his wounds you have been healed. Speak to your mountain. There's nothing too big for Christ to do. Because of Jesus' finished work, we no longer have to live under a curse. Sin, guilt, and condemnation have no place, no grounds, and no right to be in your life. The law has no power over us anymore. We no longer have to live in bondage to self-effort and works of the flesh. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Receive that.